real privilege to come visit the area and retreat here. Known Wendy for a couple of years now. Heard her comment in a lot of meetings, and she had a real good message. We'd invited her out to our home group, and she shared there a month or so ago, and I was so taken with her message. John's my sponsor, and I shared a little bit with John and some of her message, and John's wheel started turning, I guess, and asked her if she'd be willing to come up and speak tonight. Wendy's been around for a while, pushing 23 years. It's real great to have her as a friend of mine and my fiance. She's over to our house a good bit. Get to learn a little bit about some of the earlier history and some of the hardships and stuff that NA really went through. She's been around when several states first got NA up and going. She got a very serious message and a very humorous message both. And without any more, I'll give you Wendy from the Seed and Brain.
Hey, family. I'd like to thank the committee for inviting me. And once you hear part of my story, this is really appropriate. It's quite funny right now. I'd like to thank you all for coming out tonight. I know it's a little different. And if you can't hear me, this is about as best as you're going to get. So please come closer, because, you know, if you can't hear, we tend to go in our head. And an addict is in their head is behind enemy lines. Just a little, you know, reminder of where we're at. Did I say hi yet?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Well, it's a weak program. I'm serious. Well, not really. A little part of my background. I was born in California. I'll explain it right there. Land of fruits and nuts, right? Anybody been there? Okay. If you don't know what nuts is, it's not using the steps.
Okay.
Yeah. I believe I was addicted when I was born. Adopted. My mother said that she had to feed me every couple of hours, and I pulled my legs up, and I was a dried up little prune, and well, we can see I'm not that today, though. The lights were on anyway. And they had to feed me every couple of hours, and if I listen to what my mom said, it sounds like a baby going through detox. And if you've ever seen that, and you're a parent or even a compassionate part of this fellowship, it's painful to watch. And the neat thing is, they go through it, and they get to the other side. There's a lot of concerned people that are doing that today. Anyway, I grew up on the wharfs and the piers and went fishing. I was born in Long Beach, California. Nobody else from Long Beach? Okay. And I grew up a happy kid. Man, we went fishing, had a great time, was on the beach 90% of the time. Well, 99% of the time. And sand, surf, fun, hot dogs, fish. And there were two guys on the pier that were everybody's grandpa and everybody's grandma. I don't know if you've ever been in a fishing community, but they were awesome. The kids in the community would go down there, and one of us let them use their pole. And I became a little entrepreneur, which should have told you right away I had a problem with addiction. I fillet it, but I stood there and haggled over it. And I would catch bait, and I'd stand there and finagle over my quarter. And I got to be a real little hustler. And if I didn't walk off that pier with at least $3-4 that day, I was having a slow day. And I don't know about you, but when you're 9 years old and got $3 or $4 in your pocket, you think you're a hot tuck. You know? So, I had a great time when I was a kid. We played football all over, went fishing. School was fine when you had to be in school, you know what I mean? And like everything else I've done before recovery, I climbed through the best I could. You know, pay attention to what I liked, and the rest of it I didn't want to bother with. You know what I mean? And when I was 12, I got a little bit of a five-finger discount problem. And they sent me to live with my grandfather because he was the only male figure in my life. And my grandfather was on the res in Oklahoma. And I don't know about anybody else, and if you don't know what a res is, it's a reservation where they put Native Americans. Anybody get good grades in history out there? Oh, good. I'm glad to see that. Education's important. While I was on the res, I never did fit. That was part white. When I came home, my mother told me, don't tell them about being Indian, because that wasn't okay back then. And my father had changed his name to a white man's last name because he couldn't get work. And he passed for white. And for a long, long time, I passed for white. And I didn't fit. I don't know about any of the rest of you, but maybe you kind of felt that way sometimes. Felt like a round peg in a square hole or a square peg trying to find a round one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So while I was on the res, which is like, this is cracking me up, I get the bonfire meeting out in nature with crickets. And rain, you know. I mean, how more appropriate can an Indian have it? So, when I first walked down here with Bryce and Susie, I was thinking, oh my stars and garters. This is so right on. My HP has got such a sense of humor. I don't know about yours. But mine cracks me up. Anyway, while I was at the res, I never was quite Indian enough to be Indian, and I was there for a couple of years, and then I went back home. And probably like some of you, I had an identity problem. I didn't like the white part of me because my favorite cousin got beat up by three white guys and got off. And when I came back home, there was no American Indians to run around with, so it was kind of hard. And I have one question for some of you people out there. Why do white people break horses on hard ground? Y'all ain't right. You break bones that way. At least we Indians are smart enough to take them down where there's water. What up with y'all? If you guys got that answer, meet me after the meeting, okay? So I had a little bit of a problem, so I tried to drink the liquid drug like everybody else. And I don't know about you, but from the time I was 12 till I was 18, I never did see midnight on New Year's Day. I was so busy puking at the porcelain throne, I could not take it. And I was usually sicker than a dog, and he would go straight down and come right back up. What's that called, a U-turn? Yeah. I've done quite a few of those in my life. I don't know about the rest of you. And so up until I was 18, I did not have fun. Because I wanted to be like everybody else. Just want like everybody else, whatever that was. And I graduated high school, and I went on to try and get a trade. And it's one of those damned if you do and damned if you don't. And I was pretty good with, I was trying to be a stenographer. Now, I think that's kind of funny, too. Because it's like little squiggly lines, and it says something. And that's like sort of Native American too, because we do squiggly lines and a lot of different interpretations. And in between part of that, I had to have, like I said, we were out in the ocean a lot. And I snorkeled and I got hit by a surfboard. To the point it caused a lot of trauma and I couldn't hear. And then through the miracle of modern technology back then, they made me an eardrum. I still don't hear real well today, but I had the opportunity to be in the deaf world for a while. It is a different world. And I didn't fit there, and I didn't fit in the speaking world. Here I am again, damn round peg in a square hole. So then I got my hearing back, part of it. And then I went on to discover something really neat. Little white tails with crosses on them. Golly, finally somebody my age knows what it is. They were called mini bennies, speed, white lightning, something else. And they were wonderful. You didn't miss any part of day or night. You could just keep going and going. You had that little pink bunny lick like nothing on. Then I discovered something that was black, and they said it was beautiful. All right, family, oh, it's black and beautiful. Jump in there. All right. And they were wonderful, too. And then, I don't know about you, but my hero when I was growing up, which was kind of odd and I didn't figure it out until much later, was Roy Rogers and Trigger. God, are y'all that dang young? I guess so. Well, when I was 19, bye Roy, bye Trigger, hello, dope dealer. He was so slick. I'm telling you, I wanted to grow up and be just like him. I knew he was holding. And the cops patted him down, checked him out, went through the alley. And I was living in a little rough place called the Pike. Which, if you know it now, they've got this big boat from the Queen Mary parked there. Well, we didn't have big boats parked there. We had a lot of motorcycles, a lot of really shadowy characters and a lot of dope dealers. But I'm telling you, he was so slick. And when I saw the cops stopping, I don't know about you, but have you ever been that close and you thought you were never going to get the drug of your choice? Of course, and my drug of choice was yours and free. I didn't specialize. I was not prejudiced. It could be anything. I'm one of those people that went to your party, sat on the floor, and watched you drop it all. And picked it up and licked it up. So, anyway, I thought, oh, man. They didn't find it. They come walking up to me, grabbing me by my arm, my skinny little arm by now, which you won't see today. And turned me around and walked back down another alley and opened up his umbrella. Oh, ho, ho, ho. Honey, what was in that umbrella? On the inside was these wonderful colors and these wonderful bags and these wonderful little things all rolled up that just, you know, I thought joy came in. Happiness and escape. And when I got those, I could drink that liquid stuff, but, I mean, who wanted it now? That crap still wasn't nice and it stunk. You need some good drugs, I'll keep going and get a good buzz and everything else. And I don't know about you, but drugs for me was a remover. And I promptly continued to use. It was hell. I went there and by God's grace, I made a U-turn. And I don't spend too much time talking about the rest of it, but that part will make sense now. By the time I was 31, my dad died before I was 2, and then my mother passed away. And I had a whole bunch of desperate, screaming, empty holes, and I kept trying to fill it up by using more, being more, getting more, and going out the door going, I ain't using, and there I was down there scoring again. And I stopped just using and started dealing. And I stopped just dealing and started waiting for airplanes. Airplanes? Oh, well, never mind. You almost be too young for that, too. Dealers waited for airplanes because, you know, we spy in the sky and all that crap. And never mind. We'll keep going. You'll catch on. If not, ask me after the meeting. I kept using, and one morning I got up swearing and begging God, I don't want to go use. And I heard a voice in the mirror, and I couldn't even see a face that was mine, saying, I don't like what you've done to me. Scared me for a little bit. I still went out the door looking to score, and I didn't want to. But then I'd had a couple of marriages and two great kids, and I didn't like what was going on. I didn't like one thing about it. Except the kids and the dog. I still like the kids and the dog. I even love my 56 Dodge pickup truck more than I did my ex-husband. I don't know if anybody can relate, but God, it was a good truck. Great truck. And my ex decided to go, and we didn't have rehab or anything like that. It was, I'm older than dirt. And there was no NA that I knew about, and there was nothing but some place called Synonymous. And they didn't let anybody in there, not even the family. And I figured, they ain't letting me take my dogs, my kids, or my music. I ain't going. I didn't care they wouldn't let the old man in, but I wasn't going to give up the kids, the music, and the dog. So there was a nurse there, and I don't know about you, but I have a few morals still from being on the street. And I looked at the woman, and I was like, well, I'm being nice. I came down here to visit my husband. She said, well, you can't do him any good. You go to this sister fellowship. And I looked at her like, she's got white hair, she's old. I cannot leap over this table and beat the shit out of her. That was one of my morals that was left. I would not beat up old white people. Rob, get slick and steal their wallets, but not beat them up. So I went home pissed as heck. And I found out what the sister fellowship's name was, and I went there. And I don't know about you, I did not come in here willing and go, yeehaw, I think I'll get clean. I did not come in here for any of the stuff that I'm here today for. I went to that sister fellowship, and I was so damn scared, and I didn't admit it, that I would sit on the wall with the window open in case I couldn't get out the door. I always made sure there was a plan B. If there wasn't a door and there wasn't a window, I wanted to see where the... I'd make one. I'll make one. And there was a real nice lady there. I cannot remember who it was to this day. Patted me on the knee and she said, you might get something out of the rooms across the way. And all of a sudden, one smiled and went, yeah, thank you. Who are you? And leave me alone. Don't touch me. So I went to the room across the hall, and there was a lady speaking. And of course, none of us come in here looking for similarities, right? Mm-mm. So when I left, she asked me how I liked it and met me in the parking lot. And I said, well, I don't belong over there. She had one more marriage than I did, one more kid, so I can't possibly relate. Don't you love our thinking? So I went back, and I started to go to that meeting next week. And after that meeting, a few people stood up and went to another room. And there was a table at the back, And I don't know about you, but I could find me anywhere I went, clean or using. There's some people that did not leave their geographic particular area because how are they going to leave that one particular dealer? I'm sorry, but sources dry up. I was an equal opportunity user. If it wasn't in one town, we'll find it in another, you know? Or another state. You know, I had no problem driving down to Mexico. I lived in Long Beach. We were only 250 miles from, from Mexico. And I just got clean, y'all. I didn't get coordinated. I'm waiting. They say, you know, you try and push it, get it yourself, but only God can do it. And it's a thing you have to do from inside. I don't know. I just don't think there's any coordination inside either. I've been waiting. So I went toward the table where all of us sat, and pretty soon I heard some of the guys get called animals. I kind of sort of resented that. Of course, I kind of resented a lot of things back then. But I felt real comfortable at this table. And after that first meeting was over, all his animals got up and went to a trailer. And there was this little white notebook, and we all read some stuff out of it. And everybody complained about not being able to get high. And then we left. But I could feel at home with these people. You know, and I was okay being called an animal. And we weren't allowed to talk at the first meeting. And I swear, the first NA meeting I went to, it said, I'm powerless over my husband, my life and my bills are unmanageable. I swear that's what they said. And then I swear I heard them say, if you can go 26 days without using, you're not an addict. Think there was something wrong with my hearing? I do, today, anyway. So I proceed to prove I'm not an addict. That means the hard stuff, right? Right? You know? And so I tried. And I mean, I marked those 26 days grudgingly and disparagingly and quickly. And only smoked a couple of joints a day, dropped a couple of, you know, speed to get through. And I was okay, right? I didn't have a problem. It come 24 days, and I went out and just got plowed. Ripped, snorted, buzzed, whatever you want to call it. Whoops, didn't make 26 days. Well, I'll try it again. I think maybe we went 23 that time, and next time was probably 20 at the most. And I came in almost to the point of not, hey, I'm a machete. I forgot to tell you that part. If you guys think you're machos, guess what? There are women in this program that think they're machete. This means we don't cry. We don't give, and we don't step off the sidewalk for nobody. And so being the machete I was, I couldn't walk in there and, like, really get real honest, you know. So I walked in the meeting, and I said, you know that thing where you all have, like, that 26-day thing where you stay clean and you're not an addict? Well, I think my name is Wendy, and I might have a slight problem with drugs. Anybody look up the word slight in the dictionary? Woo! Was I in denial? So I agreed to stick around. And every meeting I said, my name is Wendy, and I might have a slight problem with drugs. And there was only like one or two ladies in there, and I wasn't smart enough Well, I'd burned up enough brain cells that I didn't figure it out, that not many women cop to being addicts. It was not socially acceptable. It was not, it was frowned upon. I don't know why. Women packed guns back in the Old West, you know. Women had knives back then. Women did robberies back then. Wasn't Bell Star a robber? No, never mind. And a couple of other infamous ladies we don't want to talk about right now either. And I proceeded to stay. And I didn't figure it out. There was like three women and the whole table of animals, and the rest were guys. And we continued to get in there and sit down, and they talked about sponsorship. And all we had was like some typed pages that came from like a commune group that had gone all over the state. Hello. And that's what we read. Couldn't figure it out because we didn't have anybody, you know, like help us. Everybody was like floundering and still grumbling because they couldn't use. Miserable bunch you ever saw in your life. And somehow I got it. And there was this lady there that had been clean. And she's a sweetheart. She had white hair, looked like my mother, soft-spoken. I thought she'd bake me chocolate chip cookies and make my life better and fix me. So I picked her to be my sponsor. Her name was Lola, but my name for her was Godzilla in combat boots. And most of the time that combat boot was you know where. And it wasn't in front of me, I'll tell you that right now. And Lola, a.k.a. Godzilla, never baked me chocolate chip cookies. She kept me pissed off and clean for a year. And I don't remember how, and I couldn't tell you because I'm one of those people that actually saw the fog lift. And I don't know if it's because I did a lot of acid or what. I don't know. But I could see the fog lifting. And every now and then I could laugh at what was going on. And I started having a little bit of fun. I started hearing the steps right. You know, not in step one at all does it say anything about drugs. A drug, the word drug, is not mentioned, written, or anything in step one. Trip, ain't that? Excuse me. And I was 6 months clean on my way to a meeting. I never had 6 months together in my entire born day. And I got stopped by a cop for what they call a fix-it ticket. Oh, God loves me. He put these neat people in my life. It's so cool. And he's a little bit short cop. And you know what happens with short cops? If there's some short cops here, I apologize. This is my opinion. Short cops like power. And I'm pretty tall, and I was a lot taller than he was. And I wasn't, you know, I was pretty young in my recovery. So they cuffed me down. And I got to the station. It was because in a blackout, when I was using, I got a fix-it ticket to do something with my car. My car broke down, and like everything else. And I sold it to the junkyard and left the ticket in their car. So it went to Warren. I don't mean a city either. And I got stuck in jail. And there is nothing more powerless than a 6x6 when you're walking it, wondering if you're going to get out. Can anybody relate? Thank God, I thought somebody finally get my age. Oh. Y'all are tough and young. I think it's awesome. So I'm pacing back and forth, and I get my phone call, and I'm dialing home, and I get my husband, and I said, I only got 35 on me. Get 35 and get me the hell out of here. He didn't quit laughing for 5 minutes. And laugh and laugh. He goes, you ain't. I am. You ain't. I am. Come get me. Get me $30 and get my ass out of here. I said, on top of that, they won't even let me have my cigarettes, and I had 3 packs of them when I went to the meeting. Oh. Can you work step one in a 6x6? And I'll tell you today, if you've ever been there, that was then, bologna sandwiches suck. I have not been able to creep on a bologna sandwich and eat one for a long, long time. I don't care if it's got cheese, fries, got mustard, I don't care. Please, if you love me, do not offer me bologna this weekend. If you don't love me, don't offer me bologna this weekend. If you don't want to be on my 4-step, do not offer me bologna this weekend. And I have an awesome higher power, so don't be a resentment, because you do not want to be on my resentment list for bologna. Make it something good, all right? So I finally did get out of jail, and I went whining to my sponsor. He cuffed me down. My hands is numb. She said, well, did you do the crime? I said, hell, I don't remember. She said, then shut up and sit down in the meeting. Fight for your seat like you're supposed to. Like I said, Godzilla. So I proceeded to stay there for a while. And it got a little better. And we started getting a little bit of literature. And which was a little white book. Not as big as the ones you have now. We called it Hip Pocket Recovery. And it had 30-some pages. Is that right? I'm older now. My memory's slipping and sliding. It doesn't keep as much as it used to. Anyway, you could tell the animals, because in our genes was that white line of that little hip pocket recovery, because we packed it back there for so long. And it's like, oh, one of the animals. All right. And I don't know about you, I stopped feeling like a round peg in a square hole, and I was able to breathe. And I had some people that I almost called friends. Because, see, I was still suspicious. And I had trust issues. And I wasn't real sure. I couldn't see it past it, and I knew I was slick. And I couldn't smell it, because, you know. And I'm like, y'all got some kind of pill. That's all there is to it. It's got to be in a pill. It's either being shoved up somewhere, down somewhere. They were doing a heck of a lot better than I was sure. And I kept coming. And then it got real hard. In California, they passed a tax thing where everybody's property taxes went sky high. And my ex-husband was from Kentucky. Yes, he left me part of his rotten accent. Thank you very much. And a lot of experience that I'm grateful for, because I won't be treated that way ever again in life. And so we moved to Kentucky. And I remember asking my sponsor, says, you're here to carry the message. I said, I'm a Native American. I want to carry it to Native Americans. She said, well, just sit there. They'll come through the door. I'm like, yeah, right. 2 weeks before we left, in came another half-breed just like me. And I'm sitting there kind of puzzled going, I only got 2 weeks to give this person everything I have. Well, it wasn't a whole lot, but, you know, you could stay clean, you know. And I was kind of resentful. I go, oh, right. Now you stand up. And I still wasn't real happy with God. And we argued a lot. Well, I argued and he just laughed, I'm pretty sure. And I proceeded 2 weeks later to move to Kentucky. Resented my ex-husband, and damn it, I had to leave my washer and dryer. The dogs went with me, so did the kids. I'll tell you that right now. And moving to Kentucky, I didn't realize they didn't have NA. Isn't it funny? You just don't think ahead. They had another fellowship, and I couldn't stay clean over there. I couldn't relate. I tried. I really did. And I got a sponsor, but she spoke strange. Nothing against her. We're just different, you know? And I got a job. I was always working. Because just in case, you know, I might need money. So, I didn't have another addict to be my eyes and ears. I didn't have NA to listen and read what little literature we did have. I didn't have an addict to be with again, and I started feeling like that square peg in a round hole. And I don't know about you, there's a certain distorted comfort, it says in step 6, about familiar pain. And we weren't making enough money to survive. Did I mention my ex-husband didn't work? Did I mention he was still using?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, okay.
Talk about it.
Yeah, baby. I got a sister over here. We can talk. We got a lot to talk about right now. I love her. It was kind of tough. And I would call my sponsor in California. Now, a lot of you are quicker than some, but let me tell you, Kentucky's 3 hours difference between here and California. And I kept getting these rotten flat tires. And I was not quick and got a used one to replace it. I just kept plugging the old one. $2 versus 10, I'll take that two every time, you know. I'm slick. And the dadgum thing, and then I'd have to call into work and be honest. I had the hardest time being honest. I don't know about the rest of you. But I wanted to tell him the dragon just got all fired up. And I couldn't get past the moat. And the drawbridge wouldn't go down. And he burnt my tire. Do you think he fought for that? So getting honest, it was like pulling teeth. I had to call in and go, I have another flat tire. Going, I'm a lying piece of crap. They are not going to believe me. Well, about the third time I got the flat tire, I called up my sponsor in California and I said, why'd you let me come here? You got to blame somebody, right? Why'd you let me come here? There is no NA meetings. I've had 3 flat tires. I can't take it no more. You should have stood in front of the door and slammed the gates of California and never let me out. And she said, well, how many flat tires do you have? I said, 1. She said, well, bitch, where's your gratitude? The other 3 are up. And hung up on me. And then she hung up on me. She flat hung up on me. Well, it wasn't until a couple hours later, get to work and the tires, you know, plugged and all that, and I figured it out. I was calling her at 7. It was 4 o'clock there. No wonder she hung up. She went back to sleep. And again, she kept me clean because it pissed me off. So, I went on a little bit longer. Did I mention my ex-husband didn't work? But we needed money. Money cure everything, right? Money did it before, money will do it again. I don't know about you, but I went from dealing to be relatively cash fluent, at least stoned about it anyway, to being poor. Downright poor. Yeah. That was a shocker. And so I decided to work two jobs. And I was working a full 8-hour job in the daytime, coming home, cooking kids' meals, washing clothes, running back out and being a waitress. And didn't get home till midnight, and then doing that same thing all over again. I was young back then. I was in my 30s. Don't you try and figure out how old I am now. I'll tell you straight out, but, you know, listen to the message right now. Know how old I am. And I promptly used within 2 weeks. Kentucky's a blue state, and they don't sell beer on Sunday. And I am such a slick, dope thing, right? I got somebody to sell me beer on Sunday. I don't even like beer. So then, in the process of drinking half this beer and feeling sick in my stomach, I went and found another me. I wasn't very far away. Not far at all. And I promptly went there and got some drugs. And I will testify to you right now, where we stopped using, that's exactly where we pick up and worse. And within 4 days, I couldn't tell you how much money I went through. Within 4 days, I was in blackouts immediately. And I came to 4 days later, and you know there's that time of day in the morning where it looks the same as the time at night? I don't know exactly what time it is, you know, and on top of that, when you're stoned, you're not real sure either. And I'm standing over a skillet, and I'm cooking eggs. And my daughter's like tippy-toeing down the hallway. And, of course, our kids tippy-toe all the time when we're using. We've taught them well. Walking on eggshells, and here I am cooking eggs. Figure that one. I thought that was pretty funny after I thought about that and got clean for a while. It was real funny until I thought, damn, I owe that child a big amends. Because I taught this child some real unusable crap when I was using. I don't know about the rest of you. I'm looking down at these eggs, and I said, what time is it? And she goes, 5:30 or something like that. And I said, morning or evening? And I looked up at her, and she was like shaking. And she said, evening? And I said, then why the hell are we having eggs for dinner? She goes, I don't know, and ran down the hall and into her room. And I'm standing there going, oh, my God, what have I done? And I don't know about anybody else, but I had to go back in this other fellowship and go back and surrender and pick up a white token. And I wanted that hole in the floor. And I did not want to go up and surrender. And I did not want to tell people what I'd done. And I felt so much shame and guilt. And I didn't think I could get up on my feet without falling down. Mainly because my knees were shaking so bad. And my chest was gone. And I went up and picked that thing up. And made it back to my seat. And that's what a relapse did to me. And we didn't have treatment facilities even then. I'd been 2.5 years clean. And most of the time out in California, we detoxed each other. And in Kentucky, which the irony of it is, and in Lexington was a big detox place. And they still didn't know how to detox us. Is now a federal correctional institute. And I was one of the people that was lucky enough to carry an NA meeting into that SCI. And that was awesome. That was awesome. I'll share that with you in a minute. And I walked down that aisle. I picked up that white token and went back to my seat and wanted that hole in that floor so bad. And it's exactly like our basic text describes it. And I didn't think it took courage, and I didn't think it took anything else except wanting a different way to live. And a few of us animals were in that other fellowship again. And we were talking maybe a week later, and decided we were going to start an NA meeting. And a few of us that could remember what was said, and I had to dig through a whole bunch of stuff and found my hip pocket recovery. And we tried Xeroxing that. Didn't know that was inappropriate and not right. Didn't frankly care. All we had, we were going to hang on to it. And we decided to start meeting. And believe it or not, they all had the same secretary, same treasurer, same name. Same meeting place, same time. And I don't know about you, but the weekends were always dangerous for all of us, so we had a lot on the weekends. And there wasn't too many of us, so we kind of hung together. We had the fortune to keep going for a little while. And these wonderful people from Ohio came down to Lexington. And with them, they brought something called IPs. In different colors. And different names on them. And we ate them up. Like they were breath itself. And we just loved every one of them. And we decided to abide within the traditions and everything. You got to be fully self-supporting, right? And the irony of it was, if you really want a real laugh, I was working in the College of Law. You don't get it, do you? An addict in the recovery of law? Well, never mind. You'll get it later. Hang with me, babies. You're going to get it. And so we started hunting up paper, the same color as the IPs. We had two or three of them. And these wonderful people were bringing us other things. And how to start meetings, and how to have treasuries, and something called twigs, and the right way to conduct a meeting, and the right way to conduct ourselves. And we started trying to figure out how to be self-supporting. Now, in the College of Law, it's something called an offset press. And for those of you who've never been near it, it's a wonderful thing. It's a dear thing, and it goes thump, thump, thump. And every time it does, out shoots a piece of paper. And I don't know about the rest of you, but it was the best time of my life. It got me so close to my higher power that I was able to listen to my higher power. Because every time I prayed and asked when I could go do it and waited, not another secretary came in the room. Not anybody else needed that offset press. And to this day, there is still a special part in my heart for Kathump. And I can still smell the ink. And I don't know about the rest of you, but I said, okay, God, 50 copies, right? When you have 50 copies, which meant 75 to me. And I proceeded to run those things, and we'd have what we call folding parties at the meetings. And then we'd read them. Now, we didn't have a basic text at the time. There were no books. There was still hip pocket recovery. And I bootlegged those, too. It was a little challenge about, you know, sometimes you replace your using ways with clean ways. And what I couldn't score before, I scored doing getting it clean now. I still find it a challenge if you want a Band-Aid. I'll score it for you. Oh, you need a pen? Hang on, I'll score it for you. What you need? Oh, right, paper. I'm on that. I'll score that for you. There's still something about scoring things that, and we got more IPs. So by the end of the week, I had been able to, with God's help, get a big box of those wonderful IPs. And if you think dope makes you smile, honey, walking out with that box, I was beaming like a moon shining off the water at full tilt. And I'd be walking out of there just going, all right, yeah. And if you think that was ka-ching, mine was ka-ching, ka-ching. And I had a smile that would not quit, and went to meetings, and it was wonderful. And we had people from Ohio telling us what was going on in the area and the region. And they had decided that we were going to have a basic text, a book, just like the other fellowship. And we had to take it to the areas and the regions. And it, once you get involved in a lot of service, you understand all that. And some groups didn't vote for the book. And their GSRs had to take that to area. Tell them, no, we don't want it. Fortunately, our group was not one of them. Thank you, Lord. I'd have been in big trouble because I don't know about anybody else. I had a little problem with self-will. Yes, you do too want that book. I was not above manipulation and intimidation when I thought it was right. But as you all well know, our best thinking got us to meetings. You know, the rest of it, thank God, was from God. And anyway, our ASR was at the meeting in Tennessee where they were putting all the books, swapping copy together. And he's calling back, and we were listening on the phone, and like we were all like passing money up and seeing if we could keep that long distance bill going for a while. And when it passed, you could hear them cheering, you could hear us cheering. I swear, half of Ohio was cheering. I don't know about the rest of them because, you know, I didn't have to listen to their JSRs. Okay. And it was like 15 pages front and back on legal paper. When we got in the colored paper, but I don't know where we're going to get the legal paper. Right, I mean the college law, legal paper. Oh, y'all are just tough tonight. Okay. Anyway, we got it. At the University of Kentucky, they had a print shop. And something went wrong with part of it, they threw the whole thing away. And I tended to walk over there quite a bit. I tended to check their trash quite a bit. I would offer money, not a whole lot, you know. But we were paying our way and we were self-sufficient, right? And don't look at me real close while I take an extra one. Because like I said, if God let me run 50, that meant 75. And if I was taking one, I could take two, right? When I got greedy, though, I got my hands stuffed, I got my feet pulled back, and I was told time and time again, no. And if I listened, see, there's a little point there. If I listened, none of the other secretaries came when I ran these things. And one time, I was like self-willing, and I went up to the room, and I'm standing there, and I'm trying to get this legal paper going, and it was taking more time because it was more than just one, you know, front and back. And I'm trying to get it done, and I'm rushing like mad. If in come five of the secretaries needing this offset press. And I got this big NA symbol on the front, right? That's all I got in run. My higher power going, I told you, no. What part of that didn't you get? And I am rushing like mad trying to cover this up and get out of there before I got caught. And every time I listened, HP let us run a whole bunch of those. And when I didn't, I got caught and had to pile it all up. Now, if I knew much about the ninth step, which says we can stop this crap before we bring it on ourselves, I'd have been better off. But, I don't know about you, best lessons I learned are the hardest ones. So, I learned them hard. I learned, okay, I'm going to listen. And when HP says yes, I'm going to go. And when he says no, I ain't. I got tired of paying that price. And I've had some people ask me, well, how do you know it was your higher power talking? I don't know about you, but he works on the side of me. I can't hardly hear him, and it's real clear. Which I think is pretty funny. Rest of the time I'm going, huh? Excuse me, I didn't hear you. When it's HP, he comes in real loud, and if I try and play that, huh, I didn't hear you, he gets louder. The more I really know it's my higher power. So we had the floppy copy. We had IPs. They were coming down in different colors. They were going out, and we had meetings. Same name, same treasurer, same secretary, same time, same place. And then we started having things called people from the outside, and they would have fundraisers. And I was fortunate enough to be at the first convention in Ohio. I think we had 225 people. We had sheets on the wall, and everybody signed them. And we went out and did a hug in the parking lot. That's how we opened and we closed. And I had never seen so many recovering addicts in one place in my entire life. I just stood there in awe, going, wow. Most of us were over 30. I really started going awe when we went to H&I meetings. Because there was a treatment facility down in Louisville, Kentucky. And if you've ever been in awe and sat there at 33 years old with 2.5 years clean and heard some 17-year-old go, I came here because I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. You go, you didn't have enough time. How did you get back there that quick? You know, and I don't know about you, but when I first started coming to NA, if you still had a watch, you were a narc. And we watched your ass. You had a clean shirt on and a different one at the meeting, you were a narc. And we watched your ass real good. We know that thing about, you know, we're under no surveillance at any time. Uh-huh. A little paranoia will annoy you, won't it? If you had a necklace on and it was any color at all, it didn't matter, silver, dirt, or gold, you're a narc. Well, I was at the World Convention in Chicago quite a few thousand years ago. And there was somebody got on the elevator, and I got to watch a narc get clean at his first meeting in Narcotics Anonymous. And that was awesome. I got to see an 11-year-old who'd been living with his dope dealer pick up a basic text because he had 8 days. 11 years old. I never could, you know. God almighty, how awesome. And I couldn't figure that out. How come it took me so damn long? But it was still awesome. And I don't know about you, but most of the time my running buddies had been guys. And in the first convention, I had hall buddies because I was married. I had a few still morals, you know. Anybody know what time it is? Because I can talk for a long time. 15 after. Okay. I've had the blessings of being around this program to have a lot of friends. As a matter of fact, after we were in Kentucky for a while, we moved to Florida. And I've had the benefits and the joys of sponsoring people. And I was sponsoring the treasurer of Hollywood, Florida. And we went to a dance in Palm Beach. I walked in, knew five people. She didn't know a soul. She said, I've lived here for all my life. You walk in, you know five people. I said, well, that's John, that's Nancy, that's so-and-so and Big Bird. She said, well, how do you know them? I said, convention. There's a lot of awesome recovery because I have a lot of brothers in this fellowship now. I have a lot of sisters, too, but, you know, mostly men. That's who came. There was a couple other chicks that didn't know we weren't supposed to either. And you know what? I started having female friends. Because I didn't have a lot of female friends. I had men friends. Partners I ran with were guys. Partners I trusted were guys. The guys I got clean with, we met in the hallway. You know, they were guys. And within a few short years, there were women coming in. And I've never felt like a square peg in a round hole since. I breathe deep and I breathe free. And I'm not going to tell you newcomers it's easy. I've spent some dark nights and some dark days. I've had to dig deep, and the only answer I have for you is in the steps. It's in the balance. Balance is an important thing. It's in the slogans. It's in the meetings. It's in the fellowship. It's in the keep coming back. It's in carrying the message to another addict. And one of those things I think is the most important is balance. I was sharing earlier today that I've read my basic text 100 times. I have a friend that she jokes, whenever you see one of these basic texts. Well, you can't see it right now, but it's falling apart. It's held together with a couple of rubber bands, some carpet thread, and some plastic. And I have read my basic text quite a few times. And I was reading it again today. And I have a lot of freedom. And I hit on this line, you know, somebody says, well, you're usually always funny. You're usually always joking. And this line says, we have this indescribable joy. You know, I thought about that. And if I had to write it down on paper, I don't think I could describe it. I was sitting there last night and we were sitting around. I said, you know what? I am such a happy camper. Life is good. It's not what I want to be. That damn fairy godmother won't take this 57,000 pounds off me. I want her to. My house is not what I want it to be. Of course, if I get out of denial, I have an apartment, not a house. I keep dragging stuff in there like it's a house, but it ain't. We've now gone across as long as we can. We now have to go up. You know? No, I couldn't tell you, you know, good things about my marriages, except they were a perfect example about how not to be married. But they were a good example about how I won't be treated today, and I won't treat anybody else. Yeah, I still got issues. And if you think your addiction goes away after you've been here a while, don't think. A month ago, I have this little problem with my foot in yellow lights and running the razor's edge to see if I can catch them before they turn red. And I've been doing it for quite a while. And I got busted. And do you know, after that cop let me go, wrote me the ticket, 2 lights later, I did the same damn thing. 2 days later, I was still doing the same damn thing. Then went to court and he said $90 and went, oh, crap. And you know what? I still said the same damn thing. There's something about that yellow light and trying to beat it. That just, you know, gives me that adrenaline rush. And then I was sitting in a meeting going, God, I need a newer car. And I was sharing about, you know, my recent challenge in my recovery. And one of the girls was there, and she's got a newer car. She says, a lot of fun to her because she's got turbo. I'm like, oh, that's why God won't give me a new car. Can you imagine what I'd be like with a turbo engine? Go boom! Oh, yeah. Mm-mm. After I let go of that $90, and I had a little problem with cash flow, it's like, I stopped for those yellow lights now. And a friend of mine tells me it's all about change. Okay. And I like that, you know. And when I go places today, I don't intend to do any harm. And I did a lot of harm, and I made amends to my children. I did a little harm, and I haven't stolen recently. Because I love to steal. I'll be truthful. I still had a problem with five finger discount with a little bit of time under my pants. You know, that's stealing and getting away with it. Till I saw my son steal better than I did. He's good. And then I said, oh my God, what have we taught this child? And I had to look at that, and it's about change. And I raised my children with the 12 steps, the 12 traditions of honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And they aren't what I want them to be, but they are what their higher power wants them to be. I can take their inventory. If they just sign it and do what I tell them, they'd be much better off, though. You know, I still have a problem not minding my own business. I call it sometimes the insanity of my recovery, because I'm thinking again. I don't know about the rest of you. And I have to go back to balance. A little bit of recovery, a little bit of work, a little bit of life, a little bit of washing the clothes, a whole lot of loving, some sleep, and doing things to others that I have been doing to you, me, whatever that saying is. Y'all know what I mean. And I'm real grateful today, because without N.A., I would not have the hope and the joy and the peace and the serenity. I'd have the death and the crosses and the dying. I would not have the joy of being here tonight and the pleasure of meeting new people. I'd probably be too scared of you and wondering what you wanted, my dope, my man, or my money. Today, all I want to do is have the balance to give joy, have the balance to give the spirit, have the balance to give the fun, have the balance that hopefully you get some serenity. Hopefully I disturbed the comfortable and comforted the disturbed some tonight. And if I didn't, keep coming back. Maybe somebody else will. And I'm real grateful. I am so glad everybody's here tonight. I don't know about you, but I hope you do the same thing I do. In the morning I get up and ask for God's will. Because when I ask for it my way, I usually make a big mess. And it doesn't take me much more than 3 or 4 minutes. I get up, and before we even get behind the wheel and start it up, it's God, take my life and my recovery. Help me walk in the white light of love and show me how to live. Because even with, somebody asked me how long I've been clean. And I said, 22 years, but I don't know what year that was. I had to get it out my pencil. And I had to have some help with my math, because I only got 10 fingers and 10 toes. And he started rattling off the time. I said, wow, I'd be impressed, but I intimately know that person you're talking about. Ah! Oh. He's talking about me, y'all. Halts. That's another one I want to leave with y'all too. Hungry, angry, tired, lonely, serious, or sick. One of those is a bad place for us. Just one. I don't know about you, but as soon as this hussy gets mad, I start heading right straight into anger. Because I'd rather hide behind anger than hurt or pain. Or admit it, because I'm still a machete, I'll be truthful. And then I go straight from anger, it's all on me, it affects it, so of course I'm lonely, I'm doing it by myself. And then I'm tired, usually. And then I'm too pissed off to eat. Can you believe that one? No, all right. I have now developed an illness that it keeps me in pain. And not all the time now. I'm not functioning to the full piece, you know. And there's no balance there either. And sometimes I just have to understand it's a difficult day and I'm in a lot more pain than usual. And sometimes I'm not, you know. And that's why I need to be grateful. I think God brings rain so you can understand how wonderful sunshine is. And who'd ever agree with that paragraph in our book? Did you ever think about pain as a gift? I want to go, yeah, right, thanks a bunch. Oh, yippee, more character building. I keep telling you I'm character enough. You ever had an argument with God? Guess who won? But, you know, I still like to argue a little bit with him. He's usually right. And, you know, if you can get any one of these, try to remember that it's just a problem. We don't strive for perfection. I guess that told you right there. I just strive to be human today, the best human I can be. Best worker at work I can be. Some days I have a little problem with my attitude. And my eyes roll and it's like, Lord, help me be tolerant and acceptant of this person. Just because they don't come to my meetings don't mean they ain't sick. They're a child of God, right? They are, aren't they? They aren't spawns of Satan like I think they are. In other days, I like to put it this way. There's been people put in my life to help me work my program, and people put in my life to really help me work my program.
Okay.
And with that, I think I've brought you toward the end and what I have to share. But what I like to look at is the beginning. And hopefully I brought you some hope. And I'd like to read one of my favorite lines out of this basic text, as long as I can get this flashlight on. Never said I was coordinated, y'all. Thank you, baby.
There you go.
Isn't it awesome? John can be a gentleman and I can accept it. I just think that's so cool. Wait a minute. Don't leave. It's very short. Narcotics Anonymous offers addicts a program of recovery which is more than just a life without drugs. Not only is this way of life better than the hell we live, it's better than any life that we've ever known. We found a new way out, and we see it work for others. Come on, everybody. Don't you know the last line? Each day, more will be revealed. May you have hope. Thank you, people.